Do you ever just get sick and tired of walking into a gas station and buying the same donuts all the time because you don't have enough time to drive to a real donut shop and get a real donut? You know, you're just in those gas stations and you see the Hostess donuts or you see the Little Debbies and you're like, you're fucking good and you're fucking cheap. You're not really what I want, but I'm here. And I don't have time to go to a donut place before I go to work. So this will have to do, you know. And then you get those little donuts and they're in the fucking sleeves. And then you got to eat them while you drive. And then they're all kind of like, you know, they're covered in that wacky chocolate. And it just starts kind of melting in your fingers. And then as you're eating it, you're just slowly, you know, hating yourself with each bite. And it just fucking sucks, you know? It just fucking sucks. But you know what? We're not going to think about that. We're not going to think about going to work and eating shitty donuts and stuff like that. It is the holiday season. We're just a few days away from Christmas. I don't know about you, but when somebody says that they have donuts, I'm expecting, like, the real deal. The real actual, you know, I'm not saying it has to be Dunkin'. Or from some gourmet, you know, bakery, you know, some fancy donuts or anything. But if someone says they have donuts and they show up with donuts, you know, that's just kind of disheartening a little bit. And I don't know. Anyways, I don't know why I keep going on about the fucking donuts. I need to come up with something different. Anyways, so this was a terrible way to start a podcast, to start this episode. Holy shit. I can't stop thinking about, donuts, but, okay, so, anyway, so, I was, something really embarrassing happened to me earlier, so, you know, I guess I was, you know, I brushed my teeth earlier, I did not properly wipe my face off after brushing my teeth. You know, sometimes when you brush your teeth, you get a little bit of toothpaste kind of built up in the corner of your mouth, or in the corner of your lips, and stuff like that, and, you know, I went to work looking like that, and I went into the bathroom, and I looked up, and I just saw, like, I was like, damn it, was I eating white powdered donuts today? Yeah, so that was embarrassing. Anyways, shit. Okay, I'm going to stop with this intro stuff, okay? Somebody told me that when you start a podcast, you should, you know, say something about you to kind of, like, get people to know who you are, but I'm clearly doing a bad job at it. But so far, the only thing that you could probably take away from this is that I have some weird donut obsession. So I'm going to stick to doing what I do best, and that is just telling the best stories I could possibly tell. And the story on this episode is quite interesting. Now, as you may know, I do love 80s and the synthwave aesthetics and, you know, the neon lights and stuff like that. So I tried to, you know, come up with a story that really kind of fits that vibe. And because that's really what I've always envisioned this podcast being. It's sort of like a Tales from the Past type podcast where, you know, telling stories that, you know, happened a long time ago. And, you know, I'm not really quite there yet, but I feel like I'm kind of inching closer to that with this story. Now, this story is called A Night at the Arcade Club. Okay, so this is a great story. This is good, interesting. A little bit of romance is involved here, and I think it's really good. I think this is going to hold a lot of people's attention. So bear with me here. I'm going to read this story. This story is called A Night at the Arcade Club. And I am your host and narrator, Ben. Sit down, enjoy your favorite drink, or don't. I don't care. I'm about to start reading, and I'm about to start reading right now. This is called A Night at the Arcade Club. The neon lights flickered overhead as Sid and his friends, Mike and Sarah, laughed and reveled in the vibrant atmosphere of the adult arcade club. Synthwave music pulsed through the air, blending seamlessly with the excited chatter, button mashing, and the clinking of glasses. the arcade club was the perfect blend of nostalgia and modern excitement. A haven for those seeking a unique night out. As Sid scanned the room, his eyes locked onto a captivating figure, Samantha. She exuded confidence and a carefree spirit. Her laughter cutting through the ambient noise, Sid couldn't resist the magnetic pull, and with a determined stride, he approached her group. Lost in Samantha's eyes, he had a hard time coming up with something to say. "Hey there, I'm Sid. I listen to synthwave and 80s soft rock," he said, offering a friendly smile. "We don't give a fuck," one of Samantha's friends said rudely. Samantha's sharp eyes assessed Sid for a moment before she responded. "My name's Samantha. What brings you here, Sid?" Her tone was playful, revealing a hint of challenge. "Just looking for a good time. Play games and get shit-faced drunk like everyone else," Sid replied, trying to match her energy. "I think you mean shit-faced," said the bartender. Sid asked him to fuck off. The night unfolded with games, drinks, and shared laughter. Sid, intrigued by Samantha's charisma, found himself drawn to her. When he finally mustered the courage to ask her for a dance, Samantha threw a curveball. "Dance? Sure, but let's make it interesting. Shots contest. Whoever can handle more shots without throwing up or dying gets to dance in the rest of the night with me." Sid, never one to back down, accepted the challenge. The arcade transformed into a battleground of alcohol, with cheers and jeers from the onlookers. Sid asked the bartender for 20 shots. "But you told me to fuck off, remember?" He made them shots anyways. Sid let his friends have 4 each, but he pounded the other 12 no problem. Sid, fueled by determination, not only outdrank his friends, but also managed to match Samantha shot for shot. Until Samantha looked at him and asked if he wanted even more shots. Sid, with a surprised reaction, responded, "Why not?" So Samantha ordered 20 more shots. She kept 6, gave 2 to her friends, 2 shots each, and then gave Sid the rest. Sid was still trying to work out the math of all that in his head, but he couldn't because he was so damn drunk and doesn't do all that Common Core nonsense. The bartender then said, "That means you drink 10, you dumbass." "Fuck off," yelled Sid at the bartender. Sid chugged all 10 shots. He was loaded at this point, breathing heavily. Sid looked at Samantha, victorious. "Looks like I win." She chuckled, her eyes gleaming. "You earned it. Let's dance." The synthwave music enveloped them as they moved together on the dance floor. Amidst the flashing lights and pounding beats, Sid and Samantha shared a connection that transcended the arcade setting. The night was a blur of laughter, dancing, and stolen glances. Sid was trying really hard not to slur his words or puke all over Samantha. As the night reached its peak, Samantha leaned in, whispering, "Want to continue this at your place?" "What? No, I won't puke on your face," said Sid with slurred speech. "No, I said, do you want to be intimate with me at your place?" Sid hesitated, realizing the intoxication of the night. "I can't. We're both too drunk. And I will throw up all over your face." Regret lingered as Sid watched Samantha walk away. For many years later, the memory of that night haunted him. A fleeting connection that could have been something more. Years later, news of the arcade club's closure reached Sid, prompting a flood of memories. Determined to relive the past, he returned one last time. The neon lights still flashed, but the once lively club now echoed with silence. Sid immersed himself in the games, lost in nostalgia until a familiar voice broke through the quiet. He turned, disbelief washing over him as he saw Samantha standing in the dimly lit space. Their eyes locked, and without a word, they embraced. It was as if time had stood still. Sid and Samantha held on to each other, realizing that the connection forged on that unforgettable night. Turns out they had both been haunted by the memories of that night, wondering what could have been. With the arcade club's imminent closure, fate had given them a second chance. As they stood in the dimly lit arcade, surrounded by the echoes of the past, Sid and Samantha knew that this time they wouldn't let each other slip away. "I'm not drunk anymore," said Sid. They began to talk, sharing stories of the years apart, and realizing that the spark between them had never truly faded. The arcade club, once a bustling haven for entertainment, became an intimate space for Sid and Samantha to rediscover each other. They played the old arcade games, the familiar sounds bringing back memories of their first meeting. The synthwave music continued to play, a soundtrack to their reunion. As the night progressed, they found themselves in a quiet corner of the club, away from the flashing lights and noisy games. The atmosphere was charged with a mix of nostalgia and newfound connection. Sid looked into Samantha's eyes, realizing that the regrets of that drunken night had led them to this moment. "I've never forgot you," Samantha admitted, her voice filled with sincerity. Sid smiled. "Me neither. I've regretted not taking you home that night." They laughed, the tension of the past dissipating. The closure of the arcade club had become a serendipitous opportunity for a new beginning. As they held each other close, the neon lights continued to flicker, casting a warm glow on their shared journey through time. The night unfolded like a dream, a culmination of missed opportunities and the promise of a future together. As they walked out of the arcade club hand in hand, Sid and Samantha knew that their story was just beginning. A sequel to the unforgettable night that had brought them back together. Then, the bartender walked in on them having sex and asked them to join. "Fuck off," shouted both Sid and Samantha. "Of course, just like old times," he said with a smile. The end. Alright, okay, here we have a story about a guy named Sid who's hanging out with his friends at a place that's called the Arcade Club. And I guess this is a place where people just go hang out, of course, play arcade, they drink, smoke, hang out. I guess this is more of a arcade that's meant for, it's basically a bar, so it's kind of like a Dave & Buster's, but way older, way more of like a synthwave vibe with the neon lights flashing and, you know, the fluorescent lights and stuff like that. And, people are probably smoking, blowing smoke all over, and they're probably listening to, like, I don't know, they're probably listening to, you know, Eddie Money, or they're probably listening to The Police, or listening to, who knows, you know, Phil Collins, Genesis. You know, that's probably, like, that's the vibe that I'm getting, you know, with the soft rock. And then, you know, then, you know, with the synth wave stuff, you know, some of the older, like, 80s kind of music that's being blasted at this arcade club. You know, that is the pretty much the atmosphere of this place. You know, I feel like we've all kind of remember, you know, if you were born in the 80s, if you're probably in your mid-30s or older, you get what I'm talking about here. You know what kind of place this is. So you got a guy named Sid. He's hanging out, you know, at this arcade club. He was hanging out with his friends, and he's just relaxing and having a good time. And then he notices, you know, he's playing games and stuff. And then he, you know, he ends up meeting this woman who's, I guess, he's, you know, he finds to be very pretty. And her name is Samantha. And he is intrigued by her almost right away. And he gets the courage, you know, to just kind of walk up to kind of approach her. She was, you know, standing with her friends and, you know, he approaches her and he introduces himself to her. And he even says that he doesn't know what to say. And, you know, the stuff that comes out of his mouth is just, this is the kind of stuff that are just, you know, inside thoughts. You don't really have to announce what kind of music you're into immediately and, you know, introducing yourself to someone. That's more of like a thing later on. I don't know. That's like an hour two kind of conversation. But anyways, you know, he starts talking to her and she ends up being, you know, friendly, but he notices that she's kind of like friendly and kind of like a hard to get, kind of like a challenging way. Like, you know, like she's not going to cave in real easily. Like you're going to have to earn her attention. Like you're going to have to really kind of like get her to like you. You know, she's not going to just straight up like you off the bat. You're going to have to make her like you and stuff like that. And, you know, after talking to her and stuff like that, and then, you know, he asked her for a dance and she was like, a dance? I don't want to fucking dance. I want to fucking drink. I want to get wasted. How about instead of a dance, how about we see who can have the most shots? Who can down the most shots? And then if you get out and drink me, then maybe then, you know, I'll dance with you and you can have me for the rest of your night. And then, you know, Sid kind of took her up on the challenge and he decided to do a bunch of shots and he did. So, you know, I'm pretty sure the first time around he had a lot. At one point he had 10, he had like 10 shots in a row, which is not realistic at all. And I mean, I don't know, some people probably have done it and probably can do it, but I would not recommend it. And that is a very good way for alcohol poisoning and probably, you know, black out and die. So would not recommend that. But he didn't care about that. He didn't care about the health risks involved. The only thing that was on his mind was getting a dance with Samantha. So that's what he was trying to do. And he ended up drinking a lot and, you know, he succeeded. He outdrank Samantha and then he was, you know, so drunk that he couldn't even do like basic math. And he tried blaming it on Common Core math, even though that had nothing to do with it. And, you know, it was just kind of embarrassing, but, you know, that's kind of what happens when you start drinking, you start embarrassing yourself and it all happens. That's not really, we don't really need to go there. So, you know, after all that drinking and stuff like that, and then he wins the dance and they're dancing and they're having a good time, but he's not able to, well, she's having a good time. I don't know if he's having a good time because he just took a ton of shots. So he's trying to like keep it. He's trying to have his dance with her, but also like keep himself together. He's trying to like, I mean, he's trying not to slur his words. He's trying to have coherent sentences and trying to, you know, not puke all over her face, you know. So that's what he's fighting. He's like in a whole new fight right now. He's trying to enjoy this dance, but then he's also like trying not to like completely like black out. And he, I mean, hats off to him. He tries really, really hard, but, you know, she whispers, you know, to him, she's like, hey, you want to take this to your place? And he's like, what? You want me to puke on your face? And she's like, no, that's not what I said. She's like, you know, it was, so he is having a heart. He drank too much. He drank too much. That's where he fucked up. He was so determined to outdrink her so he can get the dance that he ended up drinking too much. And now he can't enjoy the rest of the night, you know. And then there comes a time, you know, when she's like, hey, can you want to take me home with you? And he was just like, I can't. I'm like, I'm literally about to pass out and just puke all over the place. Like, I'm not good right now. I'm not fit. You know, this is just not good. And it's also just not a good look either. So I'm really glad that, you know, with how much he was drinking, that he had the wherewithal to understand that he was way too drunk and way too unfit to go home with another person, you know. And that's really good. But that ended up being a decision, though, that he would end up regretting because, you know, he ended up really liking Samantha. They forged a really good, strong connection, and he ended up kind of having feelings for her, even though a lot of those memories were formed while he was drunk. So I don't really know how he was able to, you know, remember so well of her in that night of that interaction. But either way, you know, years go on. I guess he never saw her again for a few years after that. And I guess he just thought about her ever since and he was missing her. And then, you know, more years later, he found out that the arcade club was closing and he decided to go up there just one more time, just for old time's sake. He would just enjoy it, play some games. And he said when he went this time, the club wasn't nearly as popular as it used to be. It was kind of dead. There was nobody in there. You could sort of see why it was going out of business. But he was just there for old time's sake. And then he's playing a game. And then he notices a voice. And whose voice is it? It's Samantha, who's there. He went there for the same reason. And that's how they ran into each other again. All these years later, and they both remembered each other. They both remembered that night, and then it turns out that they had both been thinking about each other, and it was like one of those, after all these years, we're still thinking about each other. It's kind of meant to be. You know, this is supposed to happen between them, and you know, they were very sincere with each other. They told each other that they missed them, and it was just a really good romantic moment between them, very intimate, and you know, so, and then they both confessed their love to each other, and it sounds like this time around it went better because neither of them were drinking. They're both sober. They're both able to leave hand in hand, and then, you know, of course, they later on they got intimate, and then the bartender walked in on them again. Yeah, the bartender really kind of he played a role throughout the story because he kept being really annoying. Anyway, so I don't know. So I'm trying to, I guess what I like about the story, I guess, is just like, you know, I just like there's like the nostalgia of the art, you know, that vibe. That's kind of something that's a place that I would want to be at, that I want to go hang out at. You know, just there's something about the, you know, I was born in the 80s, so I didn't experience the 80s. So it's not really necessarily that I'm missing, like, that decade. I'm just missing, like, I just want to experience those vibes of where technology is not as advanced and everyone's just kind of, like, hanging out. Nobody's on their phones. And listen, I'm not knocking anybody who's on their phones. And I get it. Like, I'm on my phone too. I'm just as guilty as everybody else. And I also recognize that phones are not going in. Phones are here to stay. They're, no matter what you say, phones are, they're here. They're not going anywhere. And there's nothing we can do about it. People are addicted to their phones, and it's going to stay that way. We may not like it, but that's just the truth. And you can't really point any fingers, especially when we're all doing it. You know, and then, you know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, I do see people, you know, talk about how they deleted social media. They deleted Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and TikTok. And they say that was like the best decision they ever made and good for them. And I'm really happy for those people. I wish I could do that, but I just like being connected. I like being connected to the world. I like being up to date on current events and trends and just knowing what everyone's talking about. And there is something good about that too. I like the, you know, the idea of the no phones, everybody going out, you know, hanging out in person and talking and actually like approaching each other and not just like texting each other all the time. Like, yeah, that's a good idea too, but I understand both. But you know what, for me, like, I think it'd just be kind of cool to kind of one night just go out to somewhere that just has that retro mentality of just that nostalgic vibe where it's just, you know, you're not looking at your phone, you're not whatever, you are just fully engaged, and there's a lot more people there because being at home is not as interesting. You know what I'm saying? So gives people more of a reason to want to go out to socialize. And I think that's what I just like. And then, of course, the arcade. I used to love the arcade when I was a kid, man. I used to play Tekken, and Tekken is pretty much, I played that all the time. There used to be this Terminator game that I used to love to play. There was the Jurassic Park game. I mean, there's just so many games. And who doesn't love that, right? Who doesn't love arcade games and stuff? But I do have a lot of memories with friends and stuff, hanging out at the arcade and meeting some new people. And I've had, you know, some of the most memorable nights of my life happened at places like that. So that's why this story kind of resonates with me a little harder than the others. But yeah, so I like this story, and it's mostly for that reason. I just like the, you know, that kind of vibe. But, you know, there are some problems with this story, though. I don't like that he did not think once to ask her for her phone number during the first night. I feel like that could have saved so many, you know, years from being wasted. Instead of, you know, just years later of randomly walking, you know, running into her again at the arcade club, he could have just asked her for her phone number the first night. And then he could have called her the next day, set up a date, and just like that, you know. But that's not what happened. I just feel like in reality, that's what most people would do. And then also, like, why didn't either one of them ever think to just go back to the arcade club? You know, why did they not think that, like, okay, well, you know, they were there one time. Chances are I'm going to end up seeing them again there. Most people a lot of people like to, you know, go to the same places frequently, at least more than once in their life if they enjoyed it, if they live nearby it. I mean, I guess she could have been, you know, not from there. She could have been from out of town and just visiting, and she just popped in with her friends and to check the place out. But, you know, he didn't know that. He could have at least just went back since then. He didn't have to wait all these years to just wait till he found out that the arcade club was closing to just finally go back up there, you know, for one, you know, just for old time's sake and stuff. I feel like that, I think that was kind of ridiculous. But anyways, I still like this story. A lot of important things about this story, though. A lot of important messages. So, okay, so he saw her, he liked her, and then he realized that in order to get her attention, he's going to have to impress her. And, you know, he's going to have to impress her by taking her up on her challenge, and that is to outdrink her. Well, he did that. Hats off to him. I mean, he could have backed down, and he could have stood his ground, and he could have said, no, I'm not going to do all that drinking. But, you know, he decided to just kind of let loose a little bit. Just kind of, I'm going to lighten up, and I'm going to take her up on this challenge. And I am really determined to get this dance with her because that's how much I like her. And that's when, you know, he decides to do the shot challenge. And he ended up out-drinking everybody at that. But he kind of shot himself in the foot with that because he ended up drinking so much that he didn't even enjoy the dance that he had with her afterwards. So, you know, just remember, drinking is fun. Drinking is cool. And yes, it does help in social situations. It does give people, you know, it does help out in social interactions and stuff. And I get that. But it could also steal from you also. It could also rob you of a really good night. So yeah, it might help. It might make things a little bit better. But I mean, and maybe instead of doing 10, he could have did, like, I don't know, 7, maybe 3 shots too much. Maybe that could have made a huge difference. You don't have to do 10 shots. He actually did way more than that because there was a whole first round. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to do that many shots. And he could have just played it cool. He could have just said, you know what? I really want this dance with you, but there's no way that my body can physically take that much alcohol. So I'm going to have to pass. I mean, if you don't want to dance, that's fine. But, you know, my body can only take so much. And I know, I get it. There's a lot of men that feel like they're not being alpha or being like, that they're being wusses if they don't, you know, outdrink everybody there and have to drink the hardest alcohol that they can find. And That's just ridiculous. Anybody who thinks like that, no adult man thinks that. No adult guy thinks that. No, who thinks like that? Young people. That's how young people think. And that is incredibly stupid to just walk into a bar or anywhere and just say, I'm going to out drink everybody in here, and I'm going to drink the strongest alcohol, and everyone's going to look up to me and think of me as the alpha beer drinker. No, they're not. They're going to look at you like you're a fucking idiot, and they're all going to laugh at you as you're fucking miserable, puking your guts out, and you're blacked out. You're going to have to be carried out. You're going to have to be fucking carried home. You don't want that. You don't want that image. It's just not fun. But so yeah, basically the I guess the important part here is just understanding your body. Just know your body, understand what you can take, know what you can tolerate. Everyone's, alcohol tolerance is different, and you just gotta know yourself, know what you can take, and don't cave into peer pressure, no matter who it's from. I don't care if it's from a family member, from your best friend, or someone that you have a crush on and you could potentially have a dance with. So just know your body. Don't embarrass yourself. It's not worth it. And he actually ruined a. He actually didn't get. He actually missed out on a lot by choosing to drink more than he should have. So that's really important about the story, is just understanding your body and all that. And then also, I do like though that he still had the wherewithal to make good choices. He knew that it was not a good idea to leave with her. He knew that, one that just this is not you just can't do that because, for many reasons. But and then also, but yeah. So he just knew that, that he was going to puke. He knew that he wasn't well, and he just knew that it would not be a good idea to leave with her. And he's, said out of respect for her and, to himself and everybody else, he was like, nope, I'm sorry, I've drank too much, can't leave with you. And so that's really good. So, bam. If only he did not drink so much. But you gotta remember though, she was drinking too, and you don't know her tolerance level either. So she could have been drunk too. So this is not all on him. So, but it doesn't matter though, because he was just like, nope. I am not fit right now to do all that, and I am just going to hang out here with my friends. And it was nice dancing with you, but I'm going to have to pass on this. But then he ended up regretting that because I guess he didn't realize that he wasn't ever going to see her again. That he never thought, he didn't even think to get her number. He had no way of contacting her. You got to think this is before phones or cell phones. This is before social media. This is before all that. And this is probably like mid-90s. So yeah, they had beepers, and they did, cell phones were kind of around. And stuff like that, but not like they are today. And yeah, so he wasn't thinking that he wasn't going to see her again. And so years went by, but anyways, it doesn't matter though. There was a good ending. He ended up running into her again all these years later, and that just means that it was meant to be. If you meet someone one night, fall in love with them, never see them again until this one random time when you decide to go back to the place where you met them because you never thought to ever go back there since, and you end up seeing them, that means it's meant to be. That just means it's meant to be. So anyways, like I said, the real moral of the story is understanding your body, know how much alcohol you can take, and don't let peer pressure ruin your night. Peer pressure has ruined a lot of nights. So that is the moral of the story. Okay, so that's all I got for this. I hope everyone who listened enjoyed that one. I love telling these stories. They're always fun. We are just a few days away from Christmas, about a week away from New Year's. I don't know if I'm going to have a whole nother episode out before the end of the year. So I hope everybody has a happy New Year. Enjoy their Christmas. Enjoy time with your family. And don't drink too much. Enjoy yourself. And I hope everybody has. And so, anyways, I'm going to go ahead and get going. Be on the lookout for more episodes. Please make sure you follow me on social media. I am the last option on TikTok, the last option 256 on TikTok. And yeah, if you want to get a hold of me, you can just always message me there. Please make sure you you listen, or make sure you like or subscribe or follow, and let me know what you think. And yeah, until then, have a happy holidays and a happy new year. Later.